Now you'll find my text in the third chapter of Ruth and verse 18. The third chapter of Ruth and verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Dear congregation, in Psalm 37, we are given a number of exhortations to help us at different and difficult stages of our journey. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yes, there were those that opposed the psalmist, but oh, he sought to and he encouraged others too to delight in the Lord. And then verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit, roll the whole burden of life, says Spurgeon, upon the Lord. Commit it, bring it to the Lord, and commit it to him. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest, or literally, be silent, be dumb. It's easy at times to have many things going around our mind, and we reason with ourselves. Oh, we need to rest. We need to be silent and look to the Lord. Well, what did Naomi say in verse 18 here? Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. It's not easy at times, is it? But it's good to rest in the Lord. It's good to sit still before the Lord. How important in life, again and again, is that we trust in the Lord. Well, it's a lesson that Ruth would learn here again on this particular day before us. Sit still. And Ruth was found sitting still, waiting for the providence of God to unfold. Now, just very briefly, in the providence of God, Ruth and Naomi met in the land of Moab. She married one of Naomi's sons, Mahlon, in chapter 4 and verse 10. Having lost their husbands, Naomi purposed to return to Bethlehem. She seeks to test her two daughters-in-law. Ruth makes it abundantly plain that she will go with her mother-in-law, because the Lord had worked in her heart. Now she was following the God of Israel, as her mother-in-law was. In chapter 1, verse 16, we read, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For wherever thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She wouldn't depart. She had faith now. Yes, Naomi was her mother-in-law, but now she was a friend in the Lord. And she would go back there, and she would be blessed there under the Lord. Her heart was for the Lord. She enjoyed communion and fellowship. Well, in the providence of God, we know all too well that she met Boaz. She met Boaz. And the Lord's leading Ruth, and upon a certain occasion, they meet, and later as well. And Ruth believes that Boaz is the one that she would marry. Well, on that particular night, as we have read in chapter 3, all was well. She was a virtuous lady. She lay down at the feet, not at the side, as the old commentators pointed out. There was nothing wrong here. Well, Boaz knows that this may be the one whom he is to redeem. But there's another redeemer. And so Ruth must go home. And she engages in conversation with Naomi. Naomi listens. And in response to the situation, whether Boaz could redeem and marry Ruth, Naomi says in verse 18, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing, finished the thing this day." She was to sit still. It's plain, it's implied. Ruth was considering. What's going to take place? She was to sit still and wait upon the unfolding of providence. And how often we need to sit still. But let it be our comfort this morning that our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is at work. He's making intercession. And his intercession prevails. His intercession prevails. And therefore we will receive what is good for us. Sit still, my daughter. Well, let's, for the remainder of the time, consider, first of all, a concerned lady. Secondly, a trusting lady. And thirdly, a waiting lady. First of all, a concerned lady. Verse 18, then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now we could, first of all, consider Naomi. She was a concerned lady. She had a concern for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. She was concerned that Ruth would not be anxious, but that she would be sitting still and waiting. Waiting to see what the Redeemer would come back with. Waiting to see the unfolding of God's providence. Naomi was a concerned lady. But also Ruth here. She's concerned. She's anxious. What is going to happen? She had a care. It's not unusual, is it, when a young lady meets a certain gentleman and things begin to develop, that the young lady may begin to think, is this going to be the one? Is this man going to be my husband? They are to sit still. But consider here, Ruth, she had a concern. Would Boaz be able to redeem and purchase and then also marry her? She had this concern. We in life are presented with certain things over which we have a care or a concern. Now in the Bible, there is a distinguishing between a lawful concern and an unlawful concern. A lawful concern and an unlawful concern. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, we read, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Take no thought, or it can be translated as care. Now one may say in light of the Proverbs that the godly farmer will go forth and till his land so that he has bread. He has a concern, and it's right to have a lawful concern, but not an unlawful concern, as the Lord speaks of in Matthew 6 verse 31. Take no thought. The word can be translated as care, as we see in Philippians 4 verse 6. No one is to be wise, we're to be good stewards. But the Lord instructs us we're not to have what we call an immoderate care. An immoderate care. Now it's not easy, is it? We can have a lawful concern, and that's right. But it's not easy to know when we cross the line, perhaps, at times. We're to take it to the Lord. We have this lawful concern. But then do we just take it back, as it were, straight away? We don't leave it with the Lord. Yes, an hour later, we may have to go again. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy to know at times when we cross the line from a lawful care to an unlawful care, or what we call an immoderate care. In Philippians 4, verse 6, we read, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What is the Apostle Paul saying? Remember, he had the care of the churches. So why does he say, be careful for nothing? Don't have this immoderate care. You trust the Lord. Bring your concern and roll it on him. Don't take it back again. But it's easier said than done, isn't it? To begin with myself. We all do it, don't we? We trust God. We bring our care to Him. But it's we find ourselves taking it back. All of us. Some struggle more with anxiety. But all of us at times struggle to a point. Be careful for nothing. We're to sit still. Yes, we're to be concerned about things. We're to have that burden. But we're to cast our care upon the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do, doesn't he? He wants us to bring our concerns to him. He will unfold his providence. The Redeemer will be at work for you and will do that which is right for you and for your good. He wants us to draw near because that's what's good for us. He knows that it's not beneficial that we lean on our own understanding. So he says to us, trust in me. A son once wrote to his mother a poem from Canada. And in the poem, he wrote this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It's not easy, but we do sometimes forfeit peace, don't we? Sometimes we so struggle. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And let me speak from my heart. It's not easy, is it? And I wouldn't expect you to think it's easy all the time. But we do miss out at times. Oh, that we would have a lawful concern, but not this unlawful concern. Some unconverted people, even though they make an outward profession, can be stopped in their tracks by the cares of this world. You remember the parable of the sower and the thorny ground. Mark 4 verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. I've met many people and I'm sure you have. They're concerned about things in their lives. They want some help. But the concerns and other things, it chokes the word, yes. You can tell them, you trust in the Lord. And they listen to that, but then the cares of this life and other things, they choke the word. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, the cares of this world that choke the word of God and render it unfruitful are immoderate and anxious concern for earthly enjoyments. Immoderate, that's the key word there. When one is so taken with care, they haven't got time for Christ, for church, or for the Bible. Matthew Henry wrote, worldly cares are great hindrances to us profiting by the word. So then there is a lawful, unlawful rather, and an immoderate care. However, there is this lawful care, like as we have before us, at least to begin with. Yes, Ruth did have a lawful concern. Would Boaz be the one? He could have quickly turned to an unlawful one. Sit still, my daughter. Bring your cares to the Lord. Is there something troubling you? Some providence come your way and you didn't expect it. Some loved one is in difficulty. Some loved one's facing some challenging days ahead. Cast your care upon the Lord. Maybe employment. You're concerned about something in the employment. Maybe something else with your family, your children. What do we read in 1 Peter 5 verse 7? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We often think of those words. Just note the second word. All. Casting all. It's implied that we will have many concerns, many cares, concerns over that situation, another situation, many things. We will have many concerns on our way to the land of peace. Cast them all. You may say, well, this one's so taxing. Cast all your care, all the things that may be troubling you, all the lawful concerns, you cast them, for he careth for you. The Heavenly Father wants you to do it. Are you going to do what your Heavenly Father knows is best for you? Are you going to trust him in this? Cast all your care upon him. Oh, what a one we come to. He who supports us and he who supports all his people at this very moment. He who is the God of providence, and his providence is most wise and holy. Oh, let these things be an encouragement to you to cast all your care, the bigger things, but also the little things. Trust your little concerns to the Lord. Cast all your care upon him. There is a lawful care. Concerns in the home, the church, the family, the marriage. Take the husband. He has concern for his wife, that she is provided for. The wife has a concern for her husband, that food's on the table. Lawful concern over the children. We who are parents, we have this concern, don't we? How are they doing when they're at school? How are they doing in home? How are they growing? Do they know the Lord? How are they growing in grace? How are they following the Lord? There's this concern. Care for others in the family. One, we could go, those who are sick. Remember Martha and Mary, they came to the Lord. Thou whom thou lovest is sick. They had a concern, and they went to the Lord with it. Oh, take it to the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now consider Ruth again. No doubt there was a lawful concern, but did it cross over into an immoderate concern? Well, if I was there, I'm sure it would have crossed over very quickly. Oh, that we would take our concerns to the Lord. And as we take them, that we would do this, that we would trust him. We come to him in prayer. We pour out our hearts when we make that petition in view of our concerns. We're to trust him. We need to exercise faith. We may have to do it again 2 minutes later. But oh, you trust him with your concerns. You trust him who has you in his arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You trust those arms. You trust the shepherd's heart. You trust the comforter's leading. You trust him. When Naomi, having some insight to what was happening here, says to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Sit still. About 18 years ago, there was a certain couple who moved to this area, and they just wanted to introduce themselves to different churches. One winter's Wednesday evening, they came here. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. I didn't know what the lady was going through, and she didn't know what the sermon would be. I announced my text, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." In the day or the day before, she had had some tests. She was concerned she had cancer. "Sit still, my daughter, and see how the matter will fall." She was amazed. She didn't know me. She'd never been here before. She came up to me. "How the Lord has spoken. Sit still, my daughter." It was, as it were, directed to her. Of course it was. Well, these words are directed to us all. "Sit still, my daughter." We could say, "Sit still, my son. See how the matter will fall. See how the matter will fall. How it will unfold in his most holy and wise providence. See what the Redeemer will do. He will do good for you." Well, let's move on. Consider secondly, a trusting lady. "Sit still, my daughter, and until thou know how the matter will fall." for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Sit still. What wise counsel. Sit still. Now Ruth had come to faith. That's plain, isn't it, in Ruth 2, verse 12. Boaz recognizes that here was a lady of faith. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It's so plain, isn't it? That when she wanted to go with Naomi, it was because she loved the Lord now. She wanted to be with Naomi back there in Israel. It was recognized by Boaz in passing. Is it recognized by others that you are one who is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps there's someone here, you're not a believer, or listening online, you're not a believer. How will you get through life? Oh, Jesus says, come unto me. Oh, that it would be your testimony, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Oh, consider Ruth then. This was the testimony said about her. Is it said about you? In your present situation, the concerns you have, is it said that you're trusting the Lord? But then more importantly, does the Lord see you putting your trust in him with your concerns? Well, Ruth, she was a child of God. She was a lady of faith. Well, here she was to exercise faith. And she was also to trust the Lord. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. You sit still. Things were going around her mind. Sit still. You know how it is. Things go around your mind. Sometimes you can't get to sleep. On Monday night, I couldn't get to sleep. And when I did, I woke up quickly. I was thinking about the lecture before those ministers in Scotland. The next night I slept well. But you know how it is. Things go around your mind. What if you get it wrong? What's going to happen? We can all identify with this, can't we? Sit still, my daughter. Trust in the Lord. Sit still. Naomi was a lady of faith. Ruth was a lady of faith. Here's the mother-in-law encouraging her daughter-in-law to sit still. It behoves us, we who love the Lord, to encourage one another to sit still. To encourage. To be a comfort. Sit still. In Psalm 37, verse 7 again, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest, at the root of the Hebrew word, it means to be dumb, to stop, to hold peace, be silent, be still. Sometimes there's a storm in the mind, isn't there? Things are going around. We reason with that thing and that thing. We recall this and that, and there's a storm going around. Hold peace. Stop. It's good advice, isn't it? Rest in the Lord. Stop before the Lord. Be silent before him. Now, as we think of this, it implies that one is to consider him. He is the God of power. He is the God of mercy. He will do justly for you. He is the God of providence. Sit still before the God of providence. Be silent. Oh, it's so easy, isn't it? We get there, but a few moments later, the storm begins to go around our minds again. Sit still. Be silent. Trust him. Be still. Listen to Spurgeon commenting on Psalm 37, verse 7. To hush the spirit, to be silent before the Lord, to wait in holy patience for the time, for the clearing up of difficulties of providence. That is what every gracious heart should aim at. Well, faith was put within her heart, and faith has been put within our hearts, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. How we need to exercise faith, and then we need to trust in him. We're to look by faith and we're to trust him. We're to place our confidence in him. Psalm 25, verse 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. There's the psalmist. He's coming to the Lord and he's showing, first of all, his prayerful dependence he has in the Lord. And he makes known that he's trusting thee. One of old wrote, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Have you said it to the Lord in your present trial? With your present concerns, I am trusting thee. You may be saying with me at times, Lord, I struggle to trust because of the depth of the sorrow, and I should have trusted thee earlier, but I'm seeking to do it now. Remember what we considered last Lord's evening, that father of the child, Lord, and he said it with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Oh my God, I trust in thee. It's good when we get there, isn't it? Remember a number of years ago when everyone in my home was ill and I had to get the washing sorted out. I said to the Lord, Lord, there's nothing else to do but trust thee. And there isn't, is there? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Psalm 143, verse 8 and 9. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I'm coming, Lord. And I'm not just plodding to thee. I'm running because of the concerns I face and the storm that rages around my mind. I flee unto thee to hide me. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For indeed do I trust. I'm trusting thee this night in the morning, Lord. Remind me quickly of thy supporting grace, thy supporting mercy, and surround me with thy arms of love. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. And if I don't sense it, oh, come quickly. Oh, to trust the Lord. Sit still. We know it's right, but we need help, don't we? First of all, pray for help. Pray to the Lord that you would trust him. Pray to the Lord that you would lean on him. He invites us to lean on him. He invites us to trust. But knowing the weakness of our hearts and the doubts that can so easily arise alongside faith in the soul, Lord, help me to trust thee. We're weak, aren't we? We're so weak. But when we feel our weakness, then we are strong. Because we're looking to the Lord and we're leaning on him. It's not easy for a Christian to sit still, children. Find it hard at times. I used to find it so hard. I didn't know the pastor of Totten Evangelical Church would be here this morning, but I remember those old pews and those bench-like hard pews. There were no cushions on them. They got lovely chairs now. But I struggled to sit still. I could never really get comfortable. I still find it a struggle now when I go to certain places. You see, I don't sit in the pew much, do I? But it's good for me because then I can sympathize with those who struggle. In Scotland this week, I notice a certain minister who's on the local minister's fraternal, but I won't name him. It was so hot in the room and he got up and he moved to the back. Then he moved to the front. Then he got up again and he moved to the back. He found it a struggle. Well, a number did. We find it a struggle to sit still in our hearts, don't we? Yes, we can be sitting still in the pew, but not in our hearts. Pray for help. At times, what are we tempted to do? Lean on our own understandings. At times, we battle with those doubts. At times, we battle with the evil one. He will seek to disturb you. Be on your guard. When you're in some trial, the devil can whisper. Oh, it's not easy. Pray for help. Pray for the Holy Spirit to excite that grace of faith within and help you to trust the Lord. He will. There'll be times when you're found, if it's just for a few moments or a minute, trusting the Lord, He'll help you. Every time you're found trusting the Lord, knowing the weakness of your own heart, it can be that we glorify God because He's helped us to trust Him. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't trust the Lord, would we? But when we do, if it be just for a few moments in the trial, oh, glory be to Him. Your prayer has been answered. Pray for help. Secondly, as we consider this, oh, think of the sovereignty of God. He's working out all for your good. He reigneth over all. Psalm 47, verse 8. He's in control. He is sovereign. All is in His hand. My times are in thy hands, says the psalmist. My times, all my times, every hour, every experience. Think of those words in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What all things that pressing concern you have, and the other one, and the other one, that all seems to come around your mind at the same time. All things work together for God. Consider thirdly His power. Pray for help. Consider secondly His sovereignty. Thirdly, consider His power. Be that a great encourager to you to sit still. None can stay His hand. The Lord is able. Remember Sarah, she laughed when she heard about bearing a son in her old age. The Lord said unto Abraham, Genesis 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is the question. The Lord says to us, we know the answer. What power He is able. He is able to do that which is right in accordance to His will. Sit still. Lord, help me. Remind me again and again of thy sovereignty. Remind me again and again of thy power. These are difficult days for the Church of Jesus Christ. Many concerns. Remind me again of thy power and thy sovereignty. Well, we could go on there. Just think fourthly of God's grace, mercy and love as an aid to sitting still. Remember those words in Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. 17 years ago, I was in Salisbury Hospital. Joanna had meningitis. The Reverend Malcolm Watts contacted me. And he gave me these words. For He knoweth our frame. He knoweth our frame. He knows everything. You sit still. Oh, what pity there. Oh, consider His love. Fifthly, His justice. He will do that which is just for you. Sit still. Oh, then cast all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. The word casting there, to throw it upon, to place. You throw it on the Lord. Don't keep it back. And if you're found having it again, you throw it again. Look to Him. Sit still. Well, we must close. Thirdly, a waiting lady. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Sit still. Ruth was concerned. What was going to take place? Would he be able to purchase the estate? Would he be able to marry me? Sit still, my daughter. You trust the Lord and you wait. You wait. See how the matter will fall. You place your confidence in the Lord and you see how the matter will fall. See how providence unfolds. See what the Redeemer will do. You wait. Sit still. Remember near the Red Sea. They were panicking. They were anxious. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and you await the salvation of the Lord. With the concerns you have, He will support you. He will help you, and in time there will be delivering grace. You wait. It's not easy to wait, is it? I still find it hard to wait at tea time. I go into the kitchen, then I go out again. 5 minutes later, I go in. It's not easy to wait for tea, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy to wait when we're anxious, we're concerned. But wait God's timing and wait for his answers. Remember those words in Psalm 37, verse 7 again. Rest in the Lord, be silent, and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. That's not easy. Not easy to be patient, is it? But wait patiently. As we considered last Lord's Day morning, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Hope, expectation, trust there, and quietly wait. Spurgeon wrote again, God is worth waiting for. God is, isn't he, worth waiting for? You wait for none other than God to unfold his providence. You wait none other for God to help you. You wait none other for God to show you favour and love. God is worth waiting for, says Spurgeon. He is never before his time. He is never too late. He's never too late. He will help you. Keep waiting. Oh, to grasp it. We have concerns. Cast them upon the Lord. And wait. Wait in your hearts for him. He will unfold his providence for your good. Wait for him. We're just in closing. She was to wait upon the Lord, but also, just note here, she was to wait upon the Redeemer. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She was to wait, and to wait upon the Redeemer. He was working. We can wait on him who is working for us through his word and spirit. You wait on him. The Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is making intercession. She was to wait for Boaz, the Redeemer. We're to wait for Christ, the Redeemer. He's thinking of you now. He thinks of you throughout all the time you're anxious and concerned. When another concern comes, he's thinking of you. He's at work. He's making intercession. He pleads with the Father, because of my precious blood, support that child through the trial. Because of my precious blood, bring the word near to their hearts. Because of my precious blood, keep them and deliver them. Wait on the Redeemer. He's working for you now. We have a friend in the court of heaven, and he will not be in rest until he has finished what he's doing for you. Sit still, my daughter. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to sit still. Lord, we would